in lesson number 5, which is the title of this lesson is this, Developing Your Relationship with God. Now, I've got to review, back up and review, just so you know, we're going to be on page 5. I know we've already talked about some of this, but I tried to speed up quick and go through it, but we didn't have time, so I'm going to back up and walk through it instead of run through this second part. Very important subject, and I really should have made these two lessons. I'm trying my best not to make this a two-year series. I think we need to know a lot out of scriptures, but we're doing our best to try to narrow it down to pinpoint specific things that are really fundamental, desperately needed for every Christian. So anyways, that's hard to do because the whole Bible is needed, isn't it? But there's some things, fundamental things that really need to be laid down, and that's what we're trying to do here. And so if you have your lesson, we're going to be on page 5. Now, if you wouldn't mind to turn to Matthew 6, Matthew chapter 6. Now, go ahead and stand whenever you find Matthew chapter 6. Let's go ahead and start in verse number 5. Now, this, as you know, most of you know, is the beginning of the part of the Sermon on the Mount. And this is part of that sermon where Jesus sits down his disciples and teaches them how to pray. And, you know, we're going to talk about prayer today. And I just, you know, you can go all over the Bible. Prayer is all throughout Scripture. There's a ton of places I'd like to go. But I don't think we can do better than when Jesus just threw it off the spot and taught us how to pray, what to pray for. So I'm very excited about that. So let's look in verse 5. And Jesus says this to his disciples. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray. Now, is that bad? Nope. But here's what they love to do when they pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. You see, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. By the way, what that means is the reward they get from people like praising them for how good they are at praying. I put praying in quotes because if you're talking to people, you're not praying, right? That's what they're kind of doing. When you pray and just want people to listen to your prayer and how cool you are at praying, you're not really praying then. You're giving a speech to people. Praying is talking to God, okay? But when they pray openly because they love the praise, God says the praise that they get from men, that's their reward and that's it. Go ahead and take the praise of men, but you're not going to get anything from God doing that. You see? So they have their reward. Now, verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. We'll talk more about that in just a second. Verse 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. I'd love to just preach that for a second, but we'll get to that in a second as well. Verse 8, be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask them. And then he tells them what to pray for, how to pray. He doesn't tell them what to pray. He doesn't tell them, don't just pray vain repetitions and then give them a vain repetition to pray. I'll tell you more about that in a second. He says, verse 9, say these three words with me. Ready? After this manner. These are things to pray for. This is how your prayer life should look. Then he says this, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So let's pray. And we'll get into our message. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for loving us the way you do. Lord, you know who we are, how weak we are, and how often we make mistakes and are unfaithful to you. But we're thankful that you're a faithful God. You're the faithful God, even as we heard last week. You love us. You care for us. And Lord, even as we consider the subject of prayer in our personal relationship with you. It's just humbling and overwhelming at times to think that we can have a personal relationship with you, Lord, that you desire for us to talk to you, and even that we have that ability because of your Son is just overwhelming, and we're so thankful for it. And so, Lord, I pray that you help us as we look at this. Help me as I teach to teach in a way that is easily understandable, in a way that your Holy Spirit can work and guide and direct in hearts today. We love you in Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, please. So before we get to our where we are in our lesson, let me just back up and tell you kind of what's going on. Is we're talking about our relationship with God. That's what this lesson's all about. Talking about our relationship with God. And just pause. And just I want you to really take this in. And we say, how's your walk with God? How's your relationship with God? But before we even say that, I want us to think about this. You can have and should have a personal, intimate relationship with your Creator. That's incredible. Do you know that no other religions have that? You know why? Their gods are fake. And even if they were real, their gods are not personal, and they have to, you know, cut themselves and do things to please their God. That's not our God, is it? Our God knows that we can't please Him. And you should probably get that in your heart, that you can't please Him on your own. The only way you can please God is by understanding you can't, and by relying on Him and surrendering and having faith that He'll work through you. That's the only way you can please. We only please God by faith. By faith in our ability? No. In God's ability. And as we have faith in God's ability to work through us, then we please Him. Pretty cool. But He wants you to have a relationship with Him. He wants you to talk with Him every day. And He walks with me. And He talks with me. Should be a real life song for you, not just one you like. That you walk with God every day. He wants that. That, by the way, that's why you exist. You ever ask why you even exist? If you have, here's your answer. To walk with God. That's why God made any human. Because He wants a personal walk with you. And if we're going to have a relationship with God, the key to any relationship, we said this, is what? Communication, right? We need to talk. If we have a relationship with somebody and we don't talk, then we don't really have a relationship with that person. There needs to be communication between them. And so we need to talk with God. We need to communicate. Now, this is dialogue. It's not monologue. Communication is two people talking back and forth, right? And so last time we really spent most of our lesson, and really I think I'm going to, for future, you know, purposes, split these into two. But the first lesson from last week on this is that God talks to you. And by the way, God always talks to you. God is constantly, 24/7, every day of every year, talking to you. Whoa, you don't need that. That's not even the Bible, ain't it? Hey, He's talking to you. He wrote it down. And everything that God wants you to know from Him is right here. And you can hear from God every single day. How? Read the Word. At camp, Brother Woodcock, I can't remember all the ins and outs of this, but he was talking about a man who wanted to talk to God, and so he goes on the top of a mountain and gets in nature, and he stands on his head and does all these things to try to talk to God, and then God speaks to him, and He says, hey, sit down and read your Bible. If you want to hear from God, you don't do all that stuff. You mean, it helps to get alone, and I'm cool with going into nature and then bringing the Bible. But if you want to hear from God, it's going to be from the Bible. God chose to speak to you through the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit speaks to you, but what does He do? He only confirms and applies the Word of God. He doesn't tell you some weird stuff. Anyway, it's not how He works. Here's what the Holy Spirit does. He only applies the Bible to your life. And the Bible applies to everyone differently. And the Holy Spirit knows your life. And the Holy Spirit knows His plan for you. He's God. And so He takes the Bible and He applies the Bible to your life. And that's it. That's His job. That's the Holy Spirit's only job. That's what He does. Not His only job. Back up. His main job is to apply the Word of God to your life. That's what He does. And so if you want to hear from God, God is always speaking. Our job then is to listen, right? It's kind of like a marriage relationship, right, husbands? Your wife is always talking to you. Anyway, we just... Oh, okay, all right. We just need to listen. And God is always speaking to us. We just need to listen to Him. How do we listen to Him? We open the Bible. First, I said this last time, I would encourage you first to pray and ask that God would speak to you personally through the reading of the Word. But the way God speaks is through the Word of God. through Bible reading. Remember we said daily Bible reading? Now, it's not always going to be like a crazy experience where God tells you everything you need to know that day, but you get in the Word of God. You know what the Word of God says. But listen, when we sit down and read our Bible every day, we don't always have to have a verse that like changes our life every day. But here's what does happen. You already know what the Bible says like in a lot of ways. And when we open the Bible, it just reminds us, oh yeah, I need to live my life by the book. And that's the main purpose of daily Bible reading, is you remind yourself every morning that you live by this book. And if you just do what you already know, you'll be leaps and bounds over where you are already. And then if God gives you more nuggets as you read the Word of God, amen for that. But we need to read the Bible every day and be in the preaching, because Bible reading is not Bible study, is it? And we can't study it out every day. We can. I think you should study on your own time and really dig in and do that. And if you want to do that, I can help you with some tools on that. But cursory reading it for the first time ever, or even if you've read it a few times, you just read through it. Most of the time, you're not going to gather every intent of that scripture. That's okay. You just read through. But the man of God does that every week. That's why we love preaching. That's what preaching is the man of God digs in and finds out exactly what God has out of this passage and studies it and then delivers it to you, just spoon feeds us exactly what the Holy Spirit intended out of that passage. We didn't even have to study. He did it all week. You see? And that's what preaching is all about, is we hear exactly from that passage. And again, I think you should study on your own, but we should be in our Bible every day. We should be studying on our own for sure, and we need the preaching of the Word of God. That's how we hear from God. And if you're not doing those basic things, then your relationship with God is going to suffer. I would contend it might not even be there if you're not excited about the Bible at all. This is how God talks to people. This is God's plan. All right. So God speaks to us. And so we need to have a daily time every day where we sit down and we hear from God. We need to be in the church of God when the man of God is preaching the Bible. Why do we love church so much? Because the Bible's preached. And we love the Bible, and we need the Bible. Okay. And so there's that. God speaks to us. We just need to listen. Now, today we're going to talk about us speaking to Him. So God always speaks to us, but God also, communication goes like this. Your wife talks, and you listen. And she talks, and you listen. She talks, and you listen. For a long time. And then you talk. Right? This is communication. And God talks and we listen and then we talk. And that's what prayer is all about. We talk to God. And so number three is you need to communicate with God in prayer. And that's the blank. If you have yours from last week, I think we've already gone through that. Even though God has so much to give us His Word and graciously speaks to us, hey, that we have the Bible is the grace of God. If you know how inspiration works and how preservation works and even translation into our text that we have before us, that is a lot that went into you having what you have in your hand. And a lot of people have died for this. But this is a grace that God even gave us His Word. He didn't have to do that. And then He guides us every day through His Holy Spirit. He does all that. Even though that happens, we often fail to communicate back to Him. And that's the blank. I think sometimes if you get so in love with the Word of God, which is important, sometimes we jump to the other side of the road to where we feel like all we need to do is study the Bible and we don't need to pray. What does prayer accomplish in our minds? That's kind of what we think. We're not learning anything. God already knows it all. And so sometimes we think, I'm going to spend almost all my time just reading the Bible and not as much in prayer. Well, that's not good either. We need to have a balance here, and we need to be in the Word of God. And we need to be in prayer. Both are very important. We have seen that we can hinder our relationship with God by ignoring or even rejecting His communication to us. However, even if we're great listeners when God is communicating to us, we can also hinder our relationship with God by neglecting to communicate to Him. And that's what prayer is all about. So let it be, what is prayer? That's the blank. If you don't have that, what is prayer? Prayer is simply this, how you can communicate to God. If you want to define prayer, here it is, just talking to God. That's what it is. Now, there's a lot that goes into that, but that's what it is. I would encourage you to stop and consider that for a moment. And again, I just want to read this because it's so helpful. You and I have the amazing opportunity to talk directly to God. And that's the blank if you don't have that, directly to God. And that hasn't always been the case. Before Christ came to this earth, mankind had to go through a priest, P-R-I-E-S-T, go through a priest to talk to God. By the way, the priest's office of the priest is everybody now. Every believer is a priest. If you go to Hebrews, we don't need a priest anymore. To have a priest nowadays is to totally neglect the New Testament, that we are all priests. Hebrews says we have a great high priest who is Christ. And now we are all priests. Why? Because we get to talk to God. Just like in the Old Testament, the priests were the only ones that can talk directly to God. Well, that's all of us now, isn't it? We all can directly approach the throne of grace. We do not need a priest as our mediator. There's only one mediator, and that's the man Christ Jesus. We don't need a mediator, and not Mary, it's not the saints, it's nobody. It's just Christ. We can talk to the Father because of our mediator, Jesus Christ, and we're all priests. And so we can talk directly to God, but in the Old Testament, that wasn't the case. They had to go through the priest because Christ hadn't come yet, you see. So when Hebrews says this, it says in Hebrews 7, 26 to 27, we won't turn there for sake of time, that we have the ultimate high priest, and that is Christ. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. And again, that verse was written, and that was new when Paul wrote that. Because the Old Testament, there was more than one mediator. There were lots of mediators. There were lots of priests. But today, there's one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. And because Jesus Christ is our mediator, who allows us to communicate with God himself, Hebrews 4:16 says that we can come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. It's amazing to think about, that we can boldly come before God. And that doesn't mean we arrogantly come before God, but because we know what Christ did for us, we can confidently come before God, not because of anything we've done, not because we're worthy to be before the throne of God, but we're confident in that what Jesus did was enough that we can approach the throne of God directly. Incredible. Very incredible. Very cool. So we need to take that in, I think, and remember that. Pretty cool. Remember this too, prayer reaches a limitless God. The blank is limitless. Whenever you pray, always remember who you're praying to. You're praying to a God who knows everything. He knows everything. You're praying to a God who is in perfect control of all things. You're praying to a God who can perform miracles. You're praying to a God who knows exactly what you're going through, even better than you do. And you're praying to a God who loves you so much. That's the blank. Loves you so much that he died for you, so that you can have a relationship with him. Now you might ask, well, if God knows everything and he knows everything I'm going through, then why am I praying to God? Well, you're not praying to God to inform him. He already knows. You're not praying to God, hey, just so you know, God, this is how I'm feeling. He knows. But God does. He wants you to tell him about it. God wants to talk to you about it. God wants for you to trust him with that. And God wants for you to ask his help. Because God can help, but he won't unless you ask. And God wants for you to come and humble yourself before him and say, God, I need your help. You already know what's happening, but you asked me to come to you and to ask for help and to explain to you how I'm feeling. And so that's what I'm going to do. And you talk to God. And God wants to. Here's why. God doesn't need to know what you're saying. He knows it all. But he wants to talk. He wants for you to talk to him. He wants for you to talk to him. You see? So that's what we do. We go to God because we have a relationship. And God wants us to talk to him, and he'll talk to us. See? All right. Letter C. Well, then, how do we pray? And that's the verses we read. How do we pray? God not only has given us an opportunity to pray to him, but also graciously explained to us how to pray to him. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus Christ himself laid out pretty clearly how his disciples are to pray. And so, the first is this: prayer must be without pride. And so we talked about the one who loves to pray in front of people. Why? Because he wants everyone to hear him. Does this mean that we should never pray in front of people? Well, obviously not. The apostles did that all the time. And Paul wrote his prayer to people sometimes. But we don't pray for people to hear us. We're praying primarily to God. It's kind of the same way when we sing. We sing, and people are edified by that, but primarily we sing to him, you see. And when we pray, primarily we're talking to God. Okay. But some like to pray Jesus said, just so that men can hear them and think they're very religious and spiritual. You know, church can be that way. We can come to church and just perform for the rest of the church. And we can come to the altar not even having any conviction or anything, but just so that everyone can see us go to the altar. That's, hey, if you're doing that, you're not praying. You have your reward. The people who look at you and say, wow, he's so spiritual, she's so spiritual, that's your reward. But if you come to the altar because you need to talk to God, that's what God wants, you see. Yeah. This isn't a exercise, a ritual to perform in front of people. It's a personal talk with God, the Father. And so there's that. It has to be without pride. And so instead he says to go to the closet instead. Now, does that mean you only can pray in your closet? No, it doesn't, obviously. But it's the heart, you see. It's the heart. So let's look at our notes. Pride in regards to prayer is rooted in motive. What the point of that Jesus is making is, what is your motive when you pray? Are you praying so people are impressed by you, or are you praying because you truly want to genuinely speak to God? You see, it's wrong to pretend to be communicating with God when really your only interest is to impress the hearers with your prayer ability. You see? That's the point. Don't pretend to talk to God when really your desire is to be heard of men. That's the danger that we have, that we need to be wary of. Okay? Here's a way to know that if you're doing that. Letter D, if we can express ourselves in prayer when others are around but lack expression when we're alone, we need to check our inward motives. Because are we really alone? No. The conversation is still between the same two people, whether people are there or not. And so if you really struggle to pray when you're all by yourself, just you and God, what that maybe indicates is that you're not really been talking to God. Because God is still there when no one else is there. You see, and prayer is you talking to Him. How are we doing? All right. Number two, prayer must be without ritualism. That's the blank. Prayer must be without ritualism. Let's read verses 7 and 8. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be ye not therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. And so some believe, Jesus says, that they can be heard through much vain repetition. If they just pray the same prayer over and over and over, some recited prayer, that their God will hear them. And there are many in our world who recite and repeat prayers written by somebody else. And Jesus specifically called this vain repetition. That's empty, useless. God has no desire for that. God does not want you to read somebody else's prayer. Not even Jesus's prayer. He wants you to talk to him. Jesus said that's what the heathen do. The heathen, when they pray, it's like they're praying to a rock. You know why? Because they're praying to a rock. And no one hears them when they pray, and so they feel ridiculous. And they kneel. This is what the heathen do. They kneel before their rock, and they pray to it, and in their heart they know, this rock can't hear me, it's a rock. But I'll do it, because that's what the priest told me. But I'm going to need some help. Hey, priest guy of the rock, can you write me a prayer to say to the rock? And then they read the thing to the rock. There are rocks that are shaped like people, too. Anyway, and so that's what they do. And Jesus says that's what the heathen do, because their God's fake. And their God cannot be personal, because he's not real. But our God is real, and he can be personal, and he wants to be personal, and he wants for you to talk to him. Not recite something to him, but to talk to him. Yeah. This is what those who pray to false gods do, because they are talking to someone who cannot be personal because they do not exist. So Jesus said to pray in a personal way with simplicity and confidence. Yeah. Simplicity and confidence. Our God is real. Our God desires a personal relationship with us, and our God wants us to talk to him in a way that flows from our personal relationship with him. That's what prayers should be all about, fundamentally. And so then Jesus gave us some elements that should be a part. That's the blank. That should be a part of our prayer. I think we're caught up now, aren't we? But Jesus gave us some elements that should be a part of our prayer life. Note, I'll say this again. I already said it, but I say it again. Just a few verses before this, Jesus denounced, not like, I don't really want this, But he said, do not do this. Denounced vain repetition of prayers. So he is very clearly giving us elements of prayer rather than a prayer to repeat. Now, I would encourage you to memorize the Lord's Prayer because it's the Bible. But I will, just like Jesus does, denounce that you just pray to God the Lord's Prayer. Because can I be honest? You're wasting your time when you do that. When you just recite to God the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said, don't do that. So I'm going to tell you don't do that. All right. So, but here's what you are supposed to do. You're supposed to take the Lord's Prayer and then add these elements into your life. What do you mean by that? Well, look at verse 9. And then I'll give you the blank here, okay? Verse 9. After this manner, again. Say those three words again. After this manner, therefore pray. Here's how you pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Here's what that is. That's worship. That's the blank. Worship. When you pray, you should have a heart of worship. He's in heaven. He's your Father. Hallowed be his name. That means he is the God, the creator. That means we don't, like I said last week, we don't say, hey, sup, Jesus. No, that's irreverent. He's God. And so hallowed be thy name. I'm not even worthy to be in front of you right now. That's how we talk to him. Now, he's your friend, and that's good. But he's not just your homie, your friend. He's not your peer. He's your friend, but he's not your peer. He is God, and so hallowed be thy name. And so as you pray, you can reflect on his name. You can reflect on his attributes. You can consider his deeds. You can think about who God is. And you can spend a whole prayer just talking about thanking God for who he is and what he's done. And we worship. And we bring ourselves low when we come before our God. Worship. By the way, I have verse page 6 right here with worship down to the end. I'm going to give you the blank. You're like, he's going to do the blank. I'm not going to do that. But I have this as a bookmark form, and you can put it in your Bible, and this can help guide your prayer, you see. And so you can reflect on his name, and you can come to God and say, God, you're God. And by the way, next week we're going to talk about the names of God, and you're the provider. You're the all these. God, I love you. Thank you for providing for me. And you can have a talk with God and guide it through the Lord's Prayer this way. If you want that, talk to me. I can get it figured out for you. All right. Number 10, verse 10. Here's what Jesus says next. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So that blank is surrender. When you pray, you should worship God. You should surrender. Thy will be done. Yes, Pastor? I can and I will. Pastor says. Surrender. You come to God and say, God, not my will, but your will. You surrender your plans to God. God, here's what I'm pretty sure I want to do today. But you do what you want. I want your will to be done. Your actions, the things that I'm going to do today, God, help me to surrender those to your plan. And your words, the words that I say today, to be submitted to you and what you want for me to do. And you surrender yourself to him. That's what that's all about. Okay? Verse 11. Verse 11. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And so verse 11, I'm sorry. I was like, that's not right. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. And so that's dependence. Dependence. Now, our daily bread right there, I know that this applies a lot, the Bible is the bread of life, but he's talking about like your bread, like you need to live. And you depend on God for your food. Your sustenance, your health, your provisions, your future. You need God to survive. And God, everything I get today, my daily bread, he's literally talking about my food that I eat today is going to come from you. And I know that. I need you to provide. I depend on you. Dependence. Okay? Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's confession. Forgive us our debts. We have a lot of debts. We've thought a lot of things. We've said a lot of things. We've done a lot of things that we shouldn't have. And prayer should almost always include confession. God, sorry for the thought I just had right before I came to you. God, sorry for what I did yesterday. I haven't confessed that to you yet. Please forgive me. Confession. forgive me my debts. And then, by the way, just by implication, we should also forgive others. And that God forgave us should cause us to have a heart to have grace and mercy to others and forgive. And you, by the way, need God's help for that. So, 13, in the beginning, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's deliverance. Deliverance. D-E-L-I-V-E-R-A-N-C-E. Deliverance from evil. You need God to help you with your flesh. And God to help you with the devil. And God to help you with the world. There's temptations always, every day, every second. Your flesh is constantly tempting you. The devil is always at work, especially if you're trying to live for God. And the world is against the things of God. And here's what you cannot do. All right, I'll just handle it all. No, you won't. You're gonna be beat to pulp by all three. Each and every one of these. The devil will beat you up. You can't face him. Remember, James says you flee to God, and the devil will flee from you, because God's the one that can take care of the devil, not you. And your flesh, you're too weak for your flesh. Your flesh is stronger than it's a big part of you. It is you, really. And so you need to deny your flesh. But you can only do that through the Spirit's help. You need God's help with your flesh. And then the world system is, we're not going to change the world. The world's going to be the way it is until Jesus comes back and fix the world. But God can help us to live for him even as the world is not. And we need to depend on God, you see. We need to be delivered from evil, and God's the one that will do that for us. And he can lead us away from tempting things. Let's not jump into temptation either, by the way. But ask God to get us out of the temptations and deliver us from evil. And then the last, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So that's praise. P-R-A-I-S-E, praise. God deserves our praise. God is a good God always. He wants our praise. He deserves our praise. And so we praise him. We praise him for who he is. We praise him for his attributes. We praise him for his deeds. Does that sound familiar? Names, attributes, and deeds. So worship means that you're just in adoration of who he is. You're just in awe by his name, his attributes, his deeds. And then praise is you actually thank him just because of who he is and what he's done. Okay, make sense? How are we doing? That's the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus said, this is the manner you should pray. Do not repeat this, but allow this to be a template. If you're wondering what to pray, and you sit down like, man, I don't even know what to pray for. Well, here it is. And that's what the bookmark is all about. It just reminds you of some things. Yeah, if you ever say, I don't have anything to pray for, man, you do. It's right here. There's a lot. There's always much to pray for. Yeah. All right. Okay, that's how we pray. So obviously much more can be said about prayer, but Jesus masterfully explained the fundamental aspect of prayer that we would do well to incorporate into our prayer life. And I'll get those bookmarks made even by tonight. I'll have them by tonight. I'll try my best. Okay, next. The Bible also instructs us to pray for others. To pray for others. Go ahead and go to 1 Timothy 2. If you write that word in. 1 Timothy 2. I'll pick up my mess here now. There was a prayer card somewhere. You better pray for him. I'll get it. All right. Okay. Everybody there? 1 Timothy chapter 2? Verse number 1. Timothy is after Ephesians and Galatians and Colossians and all that. It's after 1 Thessalonians. Okay, we're going to go. If you're not there, just listen close, okay? Paul says this, I exhort therefore. Now exhort means this isn't really an option. This is something we really need to do. He exhorts us to do this. Therefore that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So just very quickly, supplication is when you just ask God for help. Okay? Supplication is asking for help. Prayers is just talking to God. Intercessions is on behalf of somebody else. That's kind of what we're talking about here. And then give thanks. You can pray for others by just thanking God for them. And you do that for all men. Verse 2, for kings. Uh-oh. Anyway. Well, we don't have a king. And for all that are in authority. Anyway. That we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Why? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, of God our Father. I'm sorry, God our Savior. Verse 4, who will have all men to be saved. But what do we pray for all men? Well, first of all, let's pray that they get saved. Joe Biden probably needs to get saved. He's Catholic, I think. So he probably needs to be saved. And a lot of our authorities need to be saved. And a lot of people in our life, even ones we don't like very much in our hearts, we need to pray for them. How? To be saved. That God will work in their heart. And we need to pray that God will help us love them. Yeah. Because God wants them all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so we pray for others, the needs of others. And there's scores of verses. I'll probably add more verses into this. You know, we bear each other's burdens. A big part of that is through prayer. Paul prayed over and over for the people he wrote to. I'm praying for you. That it's just a part of who we are. And so there are plenty of times in Scripture where God's people are praying on the behalf of others. This is called intercession. Intercede on the behalf of somebody else. Okay, even if they don't pray for themselves, you can pray for them. Yeah. Our brothers and sisters in Christ will face many struggles in their lives, and God is the one who can help them more than anyone or anything else. And you should be there to help and help where you can, but primarily, fundamentally, we depend on God, don't we? Just like Jesus said, His will to be done, and He's the one that's going to do it. And so before we can even help, we should probably ask God to help. He's the one that's really going to do it. And He might use us, but we need to surrender our hearts to Him and humble ourselves to know that in the end, God is the one that's going to help them if there's going to be help. And so that's what we do when we pray for others. There are many in our lives who need to be saved. And the most powerful tool in soul winning is praying for the Holy Spirit to work in their hearts. Yeah, we need to pray that way. It is also worth noting that the Scripture tells us to pray in Jesus' name. Go to John 14:13. Let me say a quick thing on this. 14:13. Some of you are thinking, Brother Chad, we only have like half a lesson. How are you going to spend an hour talking about it? You don't know me very well. I'm a prophet. Are we there? John 14:13. He says this. And whatsoever ye shall ask, say those three words, in my name. Now who's talking? Christ. Okay? We ask in his name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Okay. So he wants us to pray in his name. And so you might have wondered, why do people say, in Jesus' name I pray? Amen. Or in Christ's name I pray? Amen. You know why we say that? Because Jesus told us to. And here's what when we pray in Jesus' name, we are praying by His will and His authority. We remember that it's Jesus who made it possible to pray to God. We don't pray in our own name. We don't have authority to come before God. But Jesus has authority to come before God, and He gave us the authority to come before Him. And so we say, in Jesus' name. You see? In Jesus' name. Now, I don't make a big deal about this, but technically speaking, we don't pray in the Holy Spirit's name or even the Father's name. We pray in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit, here's how it technically works, and I don't even want to do this, but we have time. The Holy Spirit helps us pray to the Father. Jesus made it possible for us to pray to the Father. And so technically speaking, we pray to the Father in Jesus' name with the help of the Holy Spirit, technically. But they're all God. It's not a big deal. But that's technically how you do it. And so in the end, when you're done praying, it's good practice. In fact, Jesus said, we should say this, in Jesus' name, in Christ's name. And we recognize that I'm only able to say these things to you, God, because of Christ. So we pray in Jesus' name. So when we pray in Jesus' name, we're recognizing, oh, look, I'm good, that the only reason we have authority to approach the throne of God and speak to Him is because of what Jesus, by the way, our great high priest, as the Hebrews calls Him, did on the cross. That's the only reason. Verse 3 of Psalm 5. My voice shalt thou hear in the what?
Morning.
Morning, O Lord. In the, again?
Morning.
Will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. And so, just as with our Bible reading, there is a biblical model to pray every morning. Now, that is when David prayed. Now, is that necessarily, technically, for sure mean that's when you have to pray? No, but I mean, probably it should be what you do. If David did, and the Holy Spirit inspired him to write this. So we should probably pray every morning. Again, it's best to start your day recognizing you need him. If you wake up late and you can't read your Bible because you literally don't have time to even get dressed, you can at least pray. Because we need to come before God every morning and say, God, I need you. And Paul said, I die daily. Well, how did he do that? Every morning he woke up and said, God, not my will, but thy will. And I'm dying to myself. And every day we need to come before God and say, God, I need you. God, anything that's going to happen today, it's going to be because of you. I need your help today. We pray in the morning. Start your day off that way. It's important that you actually admit that to God every day, that you need him. We all know that, but there's something about coming to God and actually telling him, God, I need you today. You need to do that. Get you. God wants to hear that. You don't only need God when there's an emergency. It's not like God's in your back pocket, and whenever you're struggling, just pull him out until he fixes your life and then throw him back in the pocket. God, you need God to keep you from the emergency. A lot of the emergencies. Now, there's some emergencies that are going to come, and if you already have some emergencies that you can do nothing about and you didn't do anything wrong, the emergency's just here. But if you already have a walk with God, it's sure going to make the emergency easier. But that's what the judges did. If you read the book of Judges, they would be right with God, and then God would make their life comfortable because he blessed them. And then they say, well, I don't need God anymore. And then they do their own thing, and then they mess their life up again. And they call out to God, and God sends a deliverer, and he fixes it and makes their life better. And then they go, well, I'm good again. I don't need God anymore. And then they mess their life up again. Hey, that was a bad example. The judges, we look back, and here's what the judges did. Well, in the book of Judges, that whole time, the Bible says they did what was right in their own eyes. That was a bad example of how to live your life. You don't just do what you want until you mess your life up and then go to God and he fixes your life and then you go back to doing what you want and mess your life up again. That's a cycle we see a lot in Christians. And it's a stressful and hurtful, and what hurts you, it hurts the church, it hurts people who love you. It, by the way, hurts God to see that. It's a hurtful cycle when instead we can just every day come before God and say, God, I need you today. And God, I don't even have any problems today. Maybe you have a day like that, but I still need God. Every day. Yeah. Where am I at? Yeah. So you need him every day. So we pray in the morning. It's a good time to pray. Also, here's this. I'll just tell you, but pray before meals. Maybe you've wondered about that. Why do people pray before meals? Well, there's a good reason for that. The reason Christians pray before meals is for this, to thank God for the food that he provided for us. That's why we don't really we can ask God to bless the food. Is God going to bless a donut? You know, we make jokes about that. God bless this donut. But really, we're not blessing it necessarily. We're not asking God to, you know, superfood this. That's not. We're thanking God for it. That's what we're doing. Go to Matthew 14. Go to Matthew 14. When we say our blessing, we're not blessing the food. We're thanking God that he blessed us. You see? Okay. And it's not just a thing that we just do because it's a ritual. God doesn't want that. God wants you to actually in your heart say, God, thank you for this food. I know you provided it. Every time we eat. Because every time we eat, God did that. Amen. God did that a lot for me. You know what I'm saying? Matthew 14:19. You there? Jesus, when he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat, and they were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained in 12 baskets full, and they had eaten, were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So Jesus prayed before his meal. Now go to Matthew 15. You there? Just jump right over 15, verse 34. And Jesus said unto them, now he does it again, the 4,000, how many loaves have ye? And he said, seven, and a few little fishes, and commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. When he took the seven loaves and the fishes, he gave thanks, right? You see? So what did he do when he blessed it? Well, here's what he did. He gave thanks and broke them and gave them to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And there are other verses. Whenever Jesus did the Lord's Supper, he prayed and gave thanks and said, this is the body, the cup that is in my body. And so over and over again, Jesus gave thanks. Oh, yeah, there it is. Last Supper. Luke 22:19. North Luke. Man, I am good. It's like I wrote this or something. Luke 22:19. I'm just going to read it when I get there, okay? And he took the bread and gave thanks and break it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And so Jesus gave thanks. Paul gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. In Acts 28, I need to write the verse in there. But when he and the 276 others ate after the ship was battered by a storm, and Paul was being taken to prison in Rome, and they were transferring him to a prison, so he was a prisoner in the boat, and the storm came, and Euryclodon, I think, came and was battering the ship, and they weren't eating, and Paul said, we need to eat to gain strength, you know. And so he gets the food out, and he gave thanks to God. Even while he was a prisoner on a boat that was about to sink, and he was going to eat, he stopped and thanked God, and then ate. So praying to thank God before we eat is a healthy reminder that everything we have has been provided by a gracious God. Okay? So that's what we do. We pray before meals. We pray in the morning, we pray before meals. We pray with other Christians, The blank is other. And there's these verses and others where the early church prayed together. Again, this is how we know it's not bad to pray in front of other people, because how are you going to do that? How do you pray with others without them hearing you? And so Jesus isn't forbidding us pray where others can hear us. But as we pray together, like, by the way, our church does meet at 8 o'clock every Sunday, and we pray. And I'll meet over here with some of our youth, and we'll pray together. And Pastor and Brother Tim and some will pray together. And we pray, but we're not praying to each other. We're not praying to impress. Don't worry about that. You don't have to worry about impressing anybody when you pray. You just pray to God, and other people happen to hear you. But it doesn't matter if they like it or not. You're just praying to God. You pray with other Christians. Praying with other Christians unifies and encourages believers as they corporately lift their voices to God. The next, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. C-E-A-S-I-N-G. Paul said he prayed without ceasing in both of those verses. What does that mean? Ceasing means stopping. So you pray without stopping, right? That means you pray all the time. And obviously God doesn't ask us to constantly bow our head and close our eyes throughout the day, even when you're driving. Don't do that, okay? Don't bow your head and close your eyes when you're driving, asking God for safety on the road. God could steer you, but he probably won't, and you're going to die. Don't do that. But here's what the point of that is. There should be a constant flow of communication between you and God, that you constantly realize that God's there, and you can just say a quick, God, I need you right now. As you're walking, you see something happen and you need to address it. You don't have time to get on your knees, but you know you need God's help and you're heading over there. You can say, God, I need your help right now. Stuff like that. Constantly in prayer, knowing that God is constantly with you. And by the way, when you're all by yourself and you have your phone in front of you and you're scrolling, knowing that God's with you and saying, God, help me not to do something here. And it's good to know that God's right there with you always, constantly in communication. And so we should always be aware of God's presence and be ready to pray at any place, at any time. You don't have to bow on your knees and put your face to the ground every time you pray, although you should do that throughout the day. You should have times where you bow physically and pray. But you don't have to do that to pray. You can, in your mind, think, and God hears your thoughts, and pray throughout the day. Because you need him all the time. Not just in the morning. You wake up in the morning and just do your ritual. Hear what I said? Ritual? Personal devotions aren't a ritual. It's born out of a personal walk with God. But if you just get up and you read a chapter, and then, or even three or four or five chapters, and then check that off, and then say a quick prayer, probably something you say every morning, check that off and then don't think about God throughout the day, that's not what God's desiring out of this, is it? This is all based fundamentally out of a personal, close, intimate walk with God. And so when we open the Word of God, we seek to hear from Him. And we recognize we need Him. And then we pray and we know we're talking directly to our Creator, the one who is in control of all things, one who loves us more than we can love ourselves. He's our God, and we pray to Him. And it's not a ritual. It's not something to say, well, I'm a good Christian. You know why? Because I read the Bible and I pray every day. That's not what it's all about. Israel would do that. They would say, we're doing good as a nation. You know why? Because we go to the house and we make the sacrifices. And God says, but your heart's not in it, and your sacrifice stinks in my nostrils. In fact, I want you to stop making sacrifices until you get your heart right. That's how God told them over and over and over. And we get like that sometimes, where we just do the thing. Because pastor might ask me if I'm in my Bible, so I better be able to tell him, no, that's not what it's all about. Jesus, God says, no. I'm your God, and I want to walk with you. And in fact, I want you to get your heart right and then come to me. Not just come to me, just to come to me. But because you want to walk with God. Well, Brother Chad, are you saying I shouldn't pray to God? No, you can get right with God anytime. You can decide right now that you're going to love God again. And it just takes, I don't forget who even said this. Maybe Brother Tim, you say this. I don't know if you know who said it first. But we're always one decision away from being right with God. We can be right with God at any time. We just confess. We pray. 1 John 1:9, and we confess to God our sin. And God is faithful and just. He's faithful because He's the faithful God. He's just. He's able to forgive our sin because Jesus died for that. He doesn't forgive us just because He loves us, but because Jesus paid for that sin. And we come to God and we bear our heart to Him and say, God, I haven't been what I should be. God, I haven't had a close walk with You. I want a close walk with You. And immediately, right then, it's like the father at the end of the road, the prodigal son comes home. God has been waiting for you to do that. And at any time, you don't have to go fix your life. You don't have to go apologize to anybody yet. Eventually, you might need to do that. But you come to God, and in your heart, you want to live for God. At that moment, you're right with God. And He'll help you fix the rest of it. But it's not like you go stop all the sins that you're doing and then pray to God. No. In your heart, you say, God, I want to stop. And God, I know I can't. I need You. And I want to walk with You. And you genuinely mean that. It's done. He's forgiven you. And you're right with Him. And now you just trust Him to take the steps to be who God wants you to be. All right. Conclusion. How humbling that the God of all creation has such a desire to have a relationship with us. It's incredible that we have the opportunity to hear directly from Him through His Word, and that God Himself lives within us. That's the Holy Spirit, by the way. God lives in you if you're saved, guiding us through His Word. Equally as incredible is the fact that we can go directly to His throne and speak to the Almighty God about our life, and that He wants to listen to us. God wants to listen to you. It's crazy. Don't let for the most incredible relationship in your life to wither and dull. Make a commitment to let communication with God be your way of life. Not just a little ritual you do every morning to please Brother Chad or the pastor, but a way of life, because you understand who it is that you have a relationship with. And God wants that, and God deserves that. And you need that, by the way. Let's pray. Thank You so much for Your Word, God. Thank You for loving us. Lord, You know who we are. We're so sinful, and God, we're undeserving to come before You. But we're thankful for what Your Son did to cleanse us and to allow us to be in Your presence even right now. Thank You for that, Lord. Help us all to fall in love with You. Help us to deny ourselves and deny our will and submit to Yours. Help us to develop a relationship with You because we love You, not because we want to please anybody, but because we love You and You desire to have a relationship with us, and we're thankful for that. And out of that heart of thankfulness and love, we develop a walk and a communication with You every day. Help us with that, please. Be with the rest of the church today. Lord, be with our church. Help us to have Your Spirit attitude and encourage one another. Help the preaching. Lord, be with pastor as He delivers Your Word. Be with the singing and all that happens, that You be glorified in all of it. We love You. Christ in my prayer. Amen.